You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, so no underscore, underscore, underscore today.
No, yeah. Just the two of us.
She's like the shortest reigning co-host we've had.
Well, hopefully she'll come when she comes back. Because okay. She does listen to the show, and she does. Oh. She was okay. Quite keen on coming. Right. She just does like 87 things on Sundays.
Ah, Rosa. All right, yeah. So maybe we'll start pencil her in as a co-host, but maybe an occasional guest to give us her perspective and stuff like that. Yeah. But you're saying Rosa, she's next weekend she's here, and then she's going back to America
for a month.
Yeah,
I think next weekend might be her last weekend. Maybe the weekend after that. But
is she coming back?
Yeah, she is. Okay. Yep.
All right. Okay. So
I think unless she gets home and is like, screw Korea.
All right. So all the Rosa fans, sorry, Rosa. You say Rosa, but I'm sorry. I got to pronounce it R-O-S-A, but the stress is there in kind of the French.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as you like.
Yeah. So you Rosa fans, hang in there. She's coming eventually. All right. You know what, Jennifer, I brought you, from my heavy backpack, I got a fan, I brought you a fan.
That was very nice of you, a gift from Carl.
Die Hard.
4.0.
4.0, so the new Bruce Willis Die Hard.
Yeah, I think actually it's 40, not 4.0.
it was 40 years ago the last one came out, maybe, is that what it is, yeah.
The 40th one.
I don't know. But and then on the back, we have an ad for the Lineage.
Yes.
Sort of the Korean World of Warcraft.
Yeah, one ad per fan is obviously not enough anymore.
Yeah. Have you noticed this, that they don't quite give out the free publicity fans like they used to?
No, and in fact, I noticed that where in my neck of the woods, they sort of don't bother giving them to the foreigners.
Well, yeah, usually too, right? They don't give anything to us.
No, yeah. Except for the old ladies who will just, they'll shove 18 in your hand and they don't care.
All right.
Of the flyers, not fans.
Yeah. But we did get the free water, though, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. Free water from some scantily clad cute girls.
I'm not saying no. And and actually the fans came from, she wasn't quite as scantily clad.
Yeah.
But
the water girls were so scantily clad. One of them, I don't know if it was when you passed by, They were just getting started. She had a shirt tied around her waist. I think she was actually a bit embarrassed about how short her shorts were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but, did you notice that, their shorts were like...
Of course I noticed,
Daisy
yes.
Daisy Dukes.
They were quite short, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's almost kind of normal for...
Usually they wear the cheerleader skirts.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow. These ones had on hot pink hot pants, right. I think one of them was a little shy.
But you're commenting this is a summer phenomenon.
Yeah, the warm weather comes out, and so do the scantily clad girls.
But I contend the warm weather here for scantily clad promotional models is defined as maybe 2 degrees
no
above freezing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen them out in like monsoons. Where they've covered up all of the equipment and protective plastic sheeting.
Except the women, right?
Except the women who there's the Aja sheet there yelling at them to make sure they're like dancing enthusiastically.
Yeah.
Nothing but love.
Yeah, there's nothing quite as sort of sad as sort of seeing a couple of those dancing narrator models in just the most depressing part of town, shilling for the most mundane, you know, business.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're dancing their little hearts out. You know what I mean?
See, I always noticed that there's one Intuit girl and one blasé girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they
exactly.
tend to like take turns. Like, okay, now it's your turn to be enthusiastic, mm-hmm. and I'll take a rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sure, yeah, a new bakery has opened, a new restaurant of any nature. Who knows? It could be anything, and they'll have those poor girls out there dancing their hearts out.
Your mugs from last week, I put them to good use. I brought them into school, and I am drinking from them.
As they are intended.
Yeah. Well, my other mug... It got quite dirty. You know, I drink tea, right? And it got very, 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 very stained.
And you know you can wash them.
Sure, but, you know, that takes time.
So you have, like, a barbecue pit sort of thing going on with your cup. The old tea just gives more flavor to the new tea.
Yeah, that's my theory, actually.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, but the kids have begun to notice, and they've actually taken the try to clean it themselves. They're very, very disturbed.
Bad.
I know, so then I'm like... Because it used to be like, I think like some of the Korean teachers kind of all took turns washing my mug. They kind of took pity on me or something. Because every now and then I'd walk in and it's clean. Like just sparkling clean. And I took that mug home and I tried to clean it. And I still couldn't get it completely clean. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to like soak it in bleach or anything. Because you're going to be drinking out of it.
Yeah. So it's that, yeah. So that stick-to-itiveness, it has its uses. It's just not about trying to get through, you know, yeah. crowds and stuff like that on a motorbike or car or something. Or, yeah. All right. So our snack of the week.
Okay.
Another snack of the week. Again, Jennifer's second snack.
Yes, I was successful in procuring the Caribou Coffee Vanilla Latte, naturally flavored.
All right.
Which is a good source of calcium and whole grain, but it's got a little asterisk, which is not explained in English, because there's a big Korean sticker covering what it's explaining. Probably explaining that it's a good source of calcium and whole grain if you eat a lot of other sources of good calcium and whole grain.
All right.
Like American breakfast cereal.
Okay. But this is actually a General Mills.
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't seen that in a long billion years of General Mills food product. All right. So, should we open
this? Sure.
They're both vanilla latte?
They're both the same. It's only one flavor.
Yeah.
And my photo did not come out, so I'll have to go take another photo.
Oh, I took a photo.
No. The photo of the box, which has whole grain misspelled.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, I've already, like... been the foreign crazy person taking a picture in the convenience store. I can go do it again.
Well, this is quite exotic because not only do you have the granola bar, but then you have like the it's kind of a...
This is kind of gross looking. Get a picture of the back.
Okay, let me just get the front here. But it has like a little icing.
Yeah, it's got icing. And
well,
the bottom, which I'm guessing is supposed to be the vanilla latte,
okay.
looks like... you know those cookie dough, not cookie dough, the cookie popsicles. It's like Oreo cookie ice cream that they serve here. It's a popsicle.
All right.
That's kind of what it looks like little specks of black, which judging from the wrapper are ground coffee beans.
All right.
And some sort of random white paste.
Okay. The dweji bar, are you talking about the dweji bar?
No, not the dweji bar. It's actually like... cookies and cream, ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Popsicle.
All right. Do say, yo.
I'd say it's definitely got your daily requirement of sugar.
Yeah, and syrup. You remember when granola bars were actually a health food product?
Yeah.
We are so old, we remember a time when they were not just
I have to say, the granola that came into my house when I was a kid, never stuck to itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was not nary a hint of any sweetener, natural or otherwise. And never had any chocolate chips or marshmallows or any other type of candy crappy goodness in there.
Yeah. I remember my mother, she was in that hippie professor's wife stage, made her own yogurt. you know? And I love you, Mom. But she never listens to my podcast, my mother. But yeah, so, and then so she would always put a granola bar in our lunch. And but it was back in the time when granola bars were like hippie health food.
Yeah.
And but eventually you get just stinking tired of granola bars. And I went away. I didn't have granola bars for years and years and years. And then I came back to them, and I was horrified to discover, one, they had shrunk in size. They were now like kind of like granola
fingers.
Well, granola pretzel sticks, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, granola fingers. And they chocolate chips and dipped in chocolate and chocolate, 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 chocolate.
None of that. No, my mom not only made her own yogurt, but it was only like naturally flavored.
Oh, yeah.
And our special treat snacks were carob or yogurt covered raisins. And for those of you whose mothers were not health nuts and you have maybe never tasted carob, it is not chocolate. It does not come within 5 million light years of chocolate.
Yeah.
So if anybody ever tells you it is a chocolate replacement, they are evil liars.
Right. There's no child over the age of four that is fooled by carob. Right. You know, maybe under four, you can sort of pass it off. It's chocolate. But
yeah. If anybody that's tasted chocolate, though, is not fooled.
Yeah. Oh, man. But that, well, our snack is actually not quite a Korean snack because it's
it's
General
just,
Mills product.
It's just some random thing that I was shocked to see.
Right. So
that a coffee chain would be selling snacks
in a convenience store.
Yeah.
An obscure Midwest coffee chain is offering you can find their snacks in a convenience store in Bundang.
There. Yeah, a snack that you wouldn't expect to see in the coffee shop.
Exactly.
Much less in a convenience store.
Exactly. It's like when you go to Norebang here, and then there's some obscure English song that you're like, how in God's name did this ever get into the playlist? You know, man, that's always fascinating.
Well, I had about a quarter of my bar, and I think that will do me for a while. But I did actually taste little bits of coffee bean in there, in the thick vanilla cream paste.
Right. So they sort of dash it with some coffee powder to justify it being caribou coffee.
Yeah. I will say that is by far the sweetest granola bar I've ever tasted in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's approaching sweet. All right. So... again, we got to change our main topic.
Yes.
Wanted to come back to that you know, being Korean American in Korea.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to that. So then I just marked it TBD. TBD. Yeah. TBA.
Same.
Yeah. It's that TV show you never are able to catch. It's like sometimes it's on at 3 p.m., sometimes it's on at, you know, 8 p.m., but you turn on and there's Barney Miller. It's not TBA, you know? It just pisses me off. I want to see that TBA show, damn it. Or The Professor.
The staff.
I can never get Taba, you know? It's like, how come I can never get Taba? I go there and some other professor. It's not Taba.
I actually had a guy once comment, that staff dude is one bad teacher. He was an athlete.
All right. So then our exciting main topic will be bathrooms.
Yes.
Public bathrooms. Where to go? This was actually influenced today because I was in Westin Chosun Hotel.
Ooh, I bet they've got a nice one.
One of Asia's top hotels. Korea's oldest.
According to them?
Yeah. Or? Well, no, I don't know. Forbes magazine or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
A real ranking system.
Yeah. And so I go there to buy my newspapers, the FT and... Wall Street Journal and stuff, and I switch. I buy it at the Westin, and then I buy it at the Lotte Hotel, because now both the people that work there know me, you know, and they get my paper ready when they see me, and so now I feel guilty, like not patronizing one kind of thing, so...
They're expecting that sale.
I know, so now I kind of got to buy... like the FT at the Westin Chosun, and the, you know, Wall Street Journal at the Lotte Hotel, and I don't know, just
You're so funny.
But I bring them things sometimes, you know, like, I don't know, like I brought them like some Canadian chocolate bars, and then I brought them some like snacks and stuff like that. I don't know, just because I'm just there all the time, and clearly I'm not a hotel guest. I'm just some ruffian off the street, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why should they bother to serve me when I'm not, you know? So, he's the guy that brings us snacks. So that's my theory.
See, if you weren't a foreigner, they'd probably be like, why is this man bringing us snacks? But you're a foreigner, so...
Maybe that's his foreign ways.
Yes.
Yes. You bring your newspaper person a snack once every 3 months. There you go. But, and then I use the washroom. And I feel I'm entitled to use the washroom after I've spent, you know, $4 on newspapers.
Yeah.
So, and the washroom in the Westin Chosun, it's like the main floor, not the basement floor, but the main floor, it's like the size of a squash court. It's huge. Okay. I'm like, oh my God.
Cause usually, bigger than our apartments.
Yeah, exactly. Usually you're used to washrooms here that, you know, if you open the door, you're likely to kill the person at the sink. You know, you got to be very careful when you open doors, because usually it's like the door just clears the sink. You know, yeah.
Well, you have to like one that even has a door that closes. You know, because a lot of them they permanently propped open the door.
Yeah.
Because you know you like that sense of privacy.
You know, I found another mirror. You know how they like dumpster diving. And so I found this great mirror, and so I grabbed it. A lot of times they just leave used furniture on your floor, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I found this great mirror, so I grabbed the mirror. And then I realized, well, I've already got two full-length mirrors. You know, where do I put this third mirror? And I thought, oh, I'll put it in the bathroom. So, but now it's like kind of opposite my toilet. And I realized, you know, I don't want to look at myself while I'm sitting down. On the toilet?
That always kind of puts me off, because some public restrooms have mirrors in the stalls. Mm-hmm. And I always find that very disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's for girls who like to touch up their makeup.
They like their mirror. Yeah, they like their mirrors here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so the Westin Chosun is just huge, the bathroom. And they not only have soap, but then they have hand lotion, which is kind of nice. So if you need to use washrooms, that's kind of the theme. What are your good standbys? Public washrooms.
Well, if there's a department store.
Right.
You know, go there, definitely. Usually like Starbucks or whatever. They'll have a nice one.
Yeah.
Just try and stay away. Like if it's just not an office building, but like a shop building.
Right.
Because then usually they've just got grotty, disgusting toilets that apparently none of them have thought of pooling their money to pay for someone to clean.
Right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like the Starbucks that have their own washrooms are usually quite good. And but sometimes there's like the smaller ones that have shared facilities. Yeah. And those are pretty terrible sometimes, yeah.
But at least in Seoul these days, you're almost always going to find a seat.
Yes.
They've gotten rid of most of the squatty potties.
Yeah, the little squat toilets are... although... Some Koreans swear by them just because...
Well, I'm sure they're more hygienic, except they're always more disgustingly dirty.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe more hygienic to your butt, but less hygienic to your shoes, that's for sure.
Now, do you face the little hood, or do you face away from the hood?
I always face it, because I think I'm scared I'll miss the target if I'm not looking at it.
Well, okay. Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
But I've never used a squat toilet here, and I have no intention of ever using one.
Oh, in Chungju, it was like if you wanted to go to the bathroom in public, that was where you
really
went. Yeah, I'm sure it's much changed now because they've got all a bunch of new buildings there now. But at that back in the day,
department stores. If you're a man, the one thing you have to watch out is a lot of times, like the women's floors don't have a man's washroom. They only have a woman's washroom. So you have
to... kind of makes sense.
Yeah, you actually have to go up several more floors, get to the men's or, like, you know, the sports or the kids. Then they'll have a man's washroom. So, yeah. But they tend to reverse the order here in terms of where to locate the men's clothing and the women's clothing. I always noticed in department stores in North America, the men's clothing tends to be on the main floor, and then they force the women to go up. But
Pass by more stuff they'll buy?
That could be, yes. But in Korea, they tend to have the women's stuff lower, and then they sort of shuffle the men's off much higher. Yeah, so...
So there you go.
Yeah, they... I guess the department stores know which side their bread is buttered on. Yeah. But I guess most of the women here do their shopping for the men.
Yeah.
Versus... Because I just think in North America, men are more likely to do their own clothes shopping. But if you have to make them work for it, like, you know, God forbid, go up a floor,
yeah.
Then they'll just screw
no,
it.
No, I don't need new clothes.
Yeah, I'll just wait.
I'll just put a rope around
exactly.
The waist.
Exactly, yeah. Just, you know, slap some... duct tape over the hole and just move on. Exactly.
We would, iron on patches.
We wouldn't do that, yeah. Oh, man.
Well, when I was in Suwon, I briefly lived...
Now, do they have toilets in Suwon, or is all of Suwon a toilet?
Well, both.
Okay.
All of Suwon is really incredibly, sincerely a toilet.
All right.
But when I was there, they were making a big push to have the nicest public facilities in Korea. As some sort of tourist draw.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, that is what you look at when you're thinking of tourist destination.
For sure, yeah.
Is it a crap hole, but yeah. With nice toilets? Okay, I'm there.
Yeah, that's true.
So they do have some incredibly nice bathrooms there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like music playing in them and very clean and like artistically designed and decorated.
Wow.
Yeah, like really surprising.
Wow.
But, that's the nicest thing about the city.
Okay.
Is there the random nice toilets.
Wow. There is an Ethiopian restaurant in Detroit, Trapper's Alley, for those who know Detroit. Blue Nile, I think it was called. And the women's washroom there was, like, legendary. I would always, if I took, like, a girlfriend or something to the restaurant, I'm always like, you gotta go into the women's washroom. Because every woman I'd ever been to... the Ethiopian restaurant always came out just like amazed at the quality of the washroom. But I never went into there, but...
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, but they were always really impressed by how nice this woman's washroom was in Blue Nile Ethiopian restaurant in Detroit's Trapper's Alley. Yeah. Other good bathrooms in Korea. Yeah, hotels, department stores, Starbucks... But, you know, the subway washrooms sometimes are not too bad, actually, here.
No, they're really not nearly as disgusting as you might think.
Exactly, yeah. Some of the little office-tel washrooms are actually worse than the subway washrooms.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, the subway, they're pretty regularly cleaned throughout the day. And not all of them have paper, but the ones that do is generally stocked.
Yeah.
And the ones that don't sell it.
Oh, the Lotte Hotel... downtown, their washrooms, they have like a little hand sanitizer in the toilet, so you can sort of sanitize the you can sort of squirt it on the toilet seat and then clean it, then sit on it. Like, wow, that's really something.
Yeah.
But what kind of freaks me out though is they also have the little bidet add-on unit, but I would love one of those at home, but I'm not I don't want a public toilet squirting something up into me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want any toilet squirting something up into me. I'll just be quite honest.
Yeah. But I don't know. But if you go to a hotel that has like a bidet, those are cool. You know. Although I don't think in Korea I've ever had a hotel with a bidet. But in Japan, the hotels have the little bidets. But you know,
Yeah. You're
pretty sure the hotel toilets are clean.
Yeah.
You're
yeah, when
in
I
your
was
own
in
room.
Europe, I stayed at a couple places that had. The bidet was actually a separate
unit.
Yeah, and I thought that was really weird. Like, you do your business in one, and then you go over next door to it, to the bidet, and clean up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the toilet paper, yeah, definitely, like I say, always have a stash of Starbucks napkins.
Yeah.
And some Mool Hughie or little water tissues. That's always good to sort of prepare for the bathrooms, too. Yeah.
But the bathrooms have really gotten much improved in the time that I've been here.
Oh, right.
Sometimes you just hold it until you got home.
Wow.
Like, really risking internal injury.
Wow. You know, one of my friend, Ruchiya, she's, like, Korean, and born in Korea, but lived in America a large portion of her life. And then she came back to Korea. She was going to Dartmouth and then doing her thesis on something or another. I don't
really?
Know.
Yeah, something or other.
I don't know.
You're a great listener, Carl.
Yeah, I know. Women in the Korean music industry or something. And all I remember involved videotape. That was the part I sort of clued in. Wait, you got a videotape 20-year-old women? Yes. All right. So, yeah, Ruchiya. I don't ask me how she got that name. It's not quite a Korean name. It sounds more like a Spanish or Italian name. And anyway, so, but she pledged that she would never, ever, ever use one of those squat toilets.
Oh.
Yeah. And then she was on some bus trip someplace, and there was a big line for the toilet, and she's in line, and she gets in, and it's a squat toilet. And then she's like, oh, I'm not going to use that. I'll get in the other line for the real sit-down toilet. But she realized this is going to seem incredibly bizarre to the Koreans in line behind her. Korean goes in, takes one look, turns around, leaves. You know, if it was like a, you know, stupid foreigner, right?
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Exactly. They would totally understand. But she's like, the looks I got were like, what are you doing? You just enjoy standing in a toilet line just so you can turn around and get in another one? Yeah. I don't know.
No, I do that. Sometimes the cleanliness of one does not meet my needs, so I just get back in line.
Wow. I told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Using the urinal in the subway station. It's the Dongdaemun subway station. And late at night, and I use the urinal. And it's kind of like the farthest urinal from the door, and I'm alone in the washroom. And then this 50-year-old Ajusheet comes in. Kind of, I can see out of the corner of my eye, he sort of sees me. And then, you know, there's like five other urinals to my right. And he uses the one right next to me. And I can totally see him like looking over, like, you know. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus. And I'm just like, you know, those times you're glad you don't know Korean. Because, like, I might have said to him, like, careful, it can smell fear or something. You know, if I knew how to say that in Korean, like, I would just say something totally bizarre there. I don't know. Yeah.
Turn to look at him and accidentally spray him. That might give him the message.
I was afraid he would do that to me. You know, like, I don't know.
I hate myself and I want to die. English T-shirt finds.
English T-shirt finds. Oh, I got to tell this one before I forget it because I just saw it today. I got a picture, and a woman, and she's wearing a T-shirt, and it said, and I got a sort of. I had the actual swear word, but you can get it from my context. It said, pure effing Canadian. Which I'm like,
that's like,
yeah, you know, I'm like, you know.
Canadians are far too polite to say something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, those adjectives, it's like putting lipstick on a pig, you know? It's like, pure effing potatoes. They're boiled, guaranteed. You know, like, why do you want to advertise that, you know? I don't know. I'm sorry, no matter what exciting adjectives you slap before Canadian, you're not going to make it exciting, you know? Have you found any good English T-shirts?
Actually, I had a good pencil case. It was so good, I took it off of my student and transcribed it.
Oh, good, okay.
Okay, there is a picture of a panda, some buildings, and a street sign. And the building apparently is saying, don't worry, everything will be all right. The panda replies, okay, I hope I'll be better. And then at the bottom it says, I wish short and intense life. And the street sign says, with fear, January 24th, the marquee, get out of here.
Jesus.
Like I said, it was such an amazing, bizarre assortment of things that I had to just take it off of my student. Right.
My friend, the heiress, I call her the heiress. Actually, I'll talk about her later in the news. But she's like a businesswoman, and from Taiwan, and Taiwanese Canadian. And her brilliant idea is to open up a chain of stores called Asian Fetish, where it's just all English t-shirts and all that cutesy weird stuff. Because there's just something about the unfamiliarity with the language that just...
Yeah.
You and I cannot possibly write English. You know what I mean? There's no way we can fake it.
No, you can't, because you really just can't screw up your own language that way.
I'm thinking the only thing we can probably do is just write something, okay, and then put it into Babelfish.
Directly translate it?
Translate it to Korean, and then translate the Korean back into English.
Yeah, that might do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Man, so... any other English t-shirt finds?
No, that's all.
All right. This week has been really depressing, because it was like I saw so many great English t-shirts, but I just wasn't able to get a picture, you know? So it's like the, you know, the...
So many missed opportunities.
I know, it's like, I keep seeing Bigfoot, but every time I take a picture, it's just, you know, it's just this blurry spot. Ooh. But man, but I'll... So I could just be making these up. I prefer to get the photographic evidence, but there was one woman, middle-aged woman, and she had a t-shirt that said, "Drink Merry Old England Dry."
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm kind of like, well, you know, that's the goal here, isn't it? You know, that's what you got to do to get ahead in business. So, yeah. And then this other woman, young woman, about 5'2", 20, what we call it, a tight little package.
Okay.
All right. So,
and by we, you mean you.
Yeah, we.
I don't often call women tight little packages.
The male of a species would call a tight little package. And she had this shirt that said, "Nerds," and then a heart, "Me." Nerds, you know, love me. And I thought to myself, you know, every Unix guy I ever worked with, you are exactly the woman of his dreams. So you,
he would heart you.
Yes, there can be no doubt about it. But I have seen a sort of a series of, like, what's really popular these days, t-shirts that says, "I love my boyfriend."
Okay.
Yeah. But the boyfriend doesn't have a "I love my girlfriend."
Yeah.
Ah. I don't know what the deal is there. Bizarre restaurant that's opened up in Myeongdong. It's a Italian restaurant. But their gimmick is they serve everything in a sugar waffle cone.
Oh, God, that is so disgusting.
Yeah. So
you have to get a picture.
I did. So basically what they do, they take a sugar waffle cone and they fill it with spaghetti and tomato sauce and probably corn. I'm sure there's an under layer of corn.
Okay, you really need to stop because my stomach is starting to turn.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it's a sugared waffle cone because like an unflavored waffle cone simply would not do the trick.
Oh man, so yeah, that's some good eating there.
Oh my God, that has to be the most disgusting thing I've heard in a long time.
Then I did get a picture of this. A woman had a t-shirt that said, "Self-taught doctor."
Okay, at least you're honest.
Yeah, I know, which is kind of, you know, yeah, you know, really most of the doctors here I would think are kind of, I don't think they're self-taught, you know. I don't know. Or you're better off going to a self-taught doctor than, man.
At least somebody taught him.
Yeah. And then I found these great stickers, and I've actually sort of printed them out for you. The 5 stickers. Grab a look at page 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realize there was a page 2.
Oh yeah, here we go. The weird.
Oh, these are some good ones.
Yeah, weird stickers. So the first one, they're all kind of like, you know, the circle with the line through, as in no.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the Ghostbusters thing with the, yeah. So the first one is a shadowy man looking at a running woman, and there's a line through. What do you think that means?
Maybe no hiding in the shadows and perving on joggers.
That could be, no, well, she's wearing a skirt.
She's wearing a skirt, yeah. But it is Korea, so, you That's know, why true. Not jog in skirt and heels, whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, maybe no stocking or something. And then there's this other one where a guy sort of crouching in front of a fridge.
Yeah.
It's hard to make out from the printout, but there's like light coming out of the fridge, almost implying it's at nighttime. So I'm thinking it's kind of like no late night snacking, something like that.
Maybe. Well, he's squatting in front of the fridge, so yeah. Maybe don't leave the refrigerator door open.
Maybe don't leave it open for a long time.
Could be anything.
All right. And then there's one that's just a guy with a shovel, no digging.
Burying dead bodies.
I don't know. I think that to me that's like the baseline, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's like call and check for power lines or something. Like in the States, they periodically post little stakes and
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Don't dig. Call before you dig. Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. But that they know that is like the only one that makes the perfect sense.
Yeah.
And the other one, I think it really has a true meaning than what it maybe implies. So this kind of this one guy in kind of a striped shirt, and an arrow pointing to a female, and then an arrow pointing from the female to another guy in like a little bow tie, and then there's an arrow between the two male characters with an X through the lines running between the male characters.
You should point out that the arrow from the man to the woman and from the woman to the man are unidirectional, whereas the arrow pointing between the two men points at both of the men and has an X.
Bidirectional. Yeah. So I'm thinking it's kind of saying, like, no, it's an anti-homosexual sticker or
something.
Yeah,
I think so. Like
man, no love, male on male.
Yeah.
Male on female, female on male. That's fine.
Certain kinds of love triangles are okay, but others aren't.
Yeah. But I like the little Jean-Paul Gaultier character.
Yeah.
The man's wearing the little Jean-Paul Gaultier kind of stripy shirt. But, okay, so, but then, here's where I think it's actually saying something that they don't intend it to say. So, then there's the no line through it.
Yeah.
So it's saying no homosexuals.
Right.
So, therefore, it's a double negative. So it's saying homosexuals are A-okay.
Yeah.
Ah.
Or only.
Maybe, yeah.
Because in the other two scenarios would be no.
Yeah. So I don't know. So that was sort of nearly offensive. But then the last one is like a little cell phone. Someone's doing text messaging.
Yeah. No texting?
Yeah. But then it's got the little KKK characters. Like
yeah,
in Korean.
Like the laughter.
Yeah, which they use for laughter. The little. And so like no texting or no cell phones or no.
No laughing?
No, yeah.
No stupid shorthand?
No laughing or something like that, yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. You know, not quite a stick-to-itiveness thing, but I was in Starbucks today.
Before now?
Yeah, if you can believe it. I was at Starbucks today, and right after I got my newspaper, the Westin Chosun has a Starbucks.
So was this your breakfast visit to Starbucks or your lunch visit to Starbucks?
This is my start my day Starbucks.
Okay.
Yeah, versus my après lunch Starbucks. And today is our sort of late afternoon Starbucks, yeah. And I no longer have an evening Starbucks. I used to years ago, but I've cut that out of my.
Yeah.
I'm too old for it, you know.
Well-being,
I mean?
At all.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm in the sort of the Starbucks, and right next to the Starbucks is where the shuttle bus is, and, you know, for the airport, the Western Chosun. All right. So there's a woman there, and she's got her to-go cup, and she's sitting by the window, kind of waiting for the bus to come.
Yeah.
Right? And then she kind of gets a little bit distracted, and then at the last moment, she notices the bus is there. All right? So she's got to sort of run out really quick to catch the bus. But she actually stops at the counter, gets her 5 cent deposit back for the cup.
I love it. And
then beats all hell out there to get on the bus. And she makes it, actually. And I'm like, man, that is like...
gotta get that money.
Yeah, gotta get that 5 cent deposit.
I always just leave mine at the trash thing with the trays because I figured like the little girls who work here can use that 51.
Totally, yeah. It's 51 deposit and you get it back when you return your cup. It's a good environmental thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But But then a lot of them now have like the little machine, push the button and you get the 50 won.
And why don't you just push the button like 20 times and then go pay for your coffee?
there is a weird honor system here. There are loopholes here that I'd never see anybody diving through, which is totally bizarre. Yeah. But, yeah. So, but you know, I have seen, I do see people, they actually do collect up those cups and they do come back with like
a big stack.
Yeah, a stack. Yeah. And then you really do. Yeah. So, I don't get the 50 won back. I just leave it there. Because there is like an end of the year accounting that they're not allowed to profit from it. Yeah, so the government is what they have, you know, different, the profit they have made on the deposit, they actually have to return to the customers somehow. Yeah. You'll notice, like, a couple times a year, you get free crap at Starbucks.
Oh, do
you? Yeah. So, you just buy a coffee and they give you, like, a free mug or free... you know those really weird ass picnic blankets they use here?
Yeah, where those are weird.
Yeah, where they're just big enough for like one person.
Yeah.
But you know, they somehow they fit a family on them.
Yeah. Because like one person holds the sweet potato salad.
Yeah.
One person holds the corn salad.
Yeah.
Another person holds the tray with the meat grilling on it.
Yeah. They gave those away for a while, so I got one of those. And yeah, you get all kinds of interesting little Starbucks logo stuff. So I'm like, I don't care. That's more valuable to me than getting my nickel back all the time. Yeah.
Well, some of the places I quite like, they have a little collection thing at the front, and it says, it has a little note about which charity the money goes to. So like when you get the money back, you can choose to put it straight away into their little charity bin.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'll do too if I'm kind of compelled by my companion to like, why aren't you getting your 50 won back? You know, then I just, yeah, because a lot of times they have the little donation box right next to the 50 won coin return machine. So and put it in the, that's a good one too.
In Korean news.
In the news, we got kind of three interesting stories. I guess the big one is Korea has lost the Winter Olympics again.
Yeah, people in the street pounding their heads into the pavement.
Oh, really?
Not quite that bad, but there were like front page pictures of, you know, crowds of people crying and rending their hair and whatever.
Because this is the second time the little... It's a city on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's up in the mountains. They had a bid last time, too.
Yeah, near Sureksan, I remember. It's kind of around Sureksan. That's sort of the big mountain resort on the East Coast. Yeah, it's really close to the North Korean border.
Oh, yeah, I think that was one of their selling points.
Oh, yeah, the friendship, you know, kind of. Yeah. The spirit of,
they're our friends.
Yeah, which is kind of a cool little area to go because it's, the whole seacoast is, you know, festooned with, like, you know, bunkers and dragon's teeth to tear out the bottom of landing crafts, and it's a little fortress kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's changed today with the.
Well, I don't think there's actually a physical DMZ in that part of the country.
Really?
Because of the mountainous terrain.
Okay. Yeah. But it's definitely, if the North Koreans wanted to invade by sea, that's quite the logical landing zone. So there's a lot of like infrastructure there to sort of, you know, quickly move the troops up to the coast. And
that's a good selling point.
Yeah, repel an invasion. So for your sort of military geeks out there, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't understand the big thrill about hosting the Olympics.
Winter Olympics.
Especially the Winter Olympics. Jesus. You know, come on. The real Olympics redheaded stepchild. But it's such a money-losing proposition, you know. And what happens? They build up all these hotels that never get used again. They build all these facilities that never get used again. So, okay, for like 2 weeks, the place might make some money off of having the Olympics. But forevermore, They're just going to have this big wasteland of former Olympic stuff.
There's positives and negatives, I forgot what the name of the Pyeongchang or something.
Yeah, right. Pyeongchang.
Yeah, it won the first round of voting, but it didn't.
Made it to the finals.
Yeah, it didn't attain a majority of the votes, and then so they dropped. Was it Austria or something?
Sure.
Some city in Austria. So that got dropped. So then it was between the Russian city Sochi or something.
Yeah, something that I thought was Korean.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Which was kind of bizarre, and then the Korean town, but then they were saying that what really sealed it was Putin, president of Russia, he gave...
Scared to tell him no?
Well, he gave a kind of a rousing speech. And not only did he speak English, but then he spoke French. And so there's a lot of saying that kind of swayed a lot of the Austrian voters to the Russian side. But then what's his name? Roe went down there too. And I'm like, why did he even go? Like, can he even speak English? And there's just this guy there, who's like not saying anything. And that's not going to impress delegates, Putin's speaking English and French and just wowing them, And to me, it's a little bit of kind of a... It's just kind of telling of Roe, it was like a year ago, his plan was to stop taking questions from foreign reporters who spoke English, because he did it like to wait for the translation, So it's like, dude, it's coming and biting you on the ass, I'm sorry, If you're going to have this really kind of anti-English stance, then don't expect that, the world's going to beat a path to your door, and
right.
I don't know. So, yeah. But I think that was sort of one rationale why maybe Russia took it. And the other thing, too, I'm thinking, it's like Russia is... Russia's kind of scaring Europe lately. Talking about moving its missiles to the borders and, talking about turning off the gas to sort of its former satellite states. And a lot of Western Europe now gets its, gas and oil from Russia. And if they turn that off tomorrow, like, they're like, we don't like the president you're electing, he's too anti-Russian, freeze in winter. So I thought to myself, it's an interesting little lever of control they can use now, right?
Yeah.
That it's like, okay, well, you are going to invest billions of dollars in a little Olympics, and Western Europe is the Winter Olympics. France and Germany and Norway and Sweden, we boycott your Olympics, you're looking at another 1980 Moscow Games, it's going to be a joke. So now you've got that lever of control that Europe and the West can kind of go, don't be too much jerks, because we can really put it to you in your little games. So I thought that maybe was another unspoken reason why.
On the upside, Canada would sweep.
I'm sure. Well, Canada would boycott as well. We don't do too badly with the Winter Olympics.
Well, yeah. Because, what with being an Arctic nation and all?
Well, it was sad. It was actually before the 88 Olympics. It was like, we won a bronze in skating, Gaëtan Boucher, I remember. Oh, he won a bronze. How exciting that was. We're this winter nation, and, we're lucky if we win a bronze and a silver at the Winter Olympics. It was really sad. It's like when Jamaica's winning more medals in the Winter Olympics than Canada. Damn pathetic. And a little update. The Hanwha Chaebol guy.
Loved his son too much.
Yeah. He got 18 months.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to serve it. But
I'm sure not. And 18 months is such a slap on the wrist anyway. And he injured... he personally didn't injure the people, but people were injured.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if he had not been super rich,
right,
then it would have been a harsher.
What I'm thinking is because Roe has got to step down as president pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, he'll just, the Hanwha guy will probably just delays appeals or something, and then Roe will probably pardon him. you know, kind of like a little George Bush Libby thing. Yeah. So that's my theory there. Wait for it. Yeah. And then there was this one where a billionaire table guy.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, he ran an ad. He wants a man to marry his daughter.
Yeah, doesn't have a son.
Right. So.
You need someone to take over the family billions. Yeah. And apparently a daughter just won't do.
Yeah. But the great thing here is in his ad, this is how he describes his daughter. He describes her A-level appearance and rather short height.
So, you know, so if you're a short guy, you can still apply.
Yeah. But I just sort of like that, like, that is so... here, you know.
Yeah.
In terms of that,
that's, she's not so hideous that my billions wouldn't overcome it.
Yeah, but you know, but she's a little on the short side, so I'm telling you now. Yeah, you want her? What was it? The conditions. But the man has to earn enough money. It just can't be some
Yahoo.
Yeah, some guy.
I think they should have a reality show. Who wants to marry a billionaire's daughter? Reality shows are kind of catching on here.
Well, they're doing something like... they did the Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Right.
That turned out well.
Yeah. Oh. But, I don't know. But, the heiress.
Yeah.
Right. She, I call her the heiress because her dad's like... She has no brothers. It's her and her sister. And then her dad owns like a big business. So she's the one with the MBA. Her sister, she likes Hello Kitty. You
know? Okay.
Yeah.
But, gotcha.
Yeah, so the heiress is like the one with the business degree and is kind of the one who will inherit the her father's empire. And her dad, at some point her dad was rather concerned that, you know, she's 21 and she's not married yet.
Yeah.
And
old maid.
Yeah, and she has this business to inherit and she needs a husband. So he ran an ad, unbeknownst to her, he ran an ad in like these Chinese newspapers for like, you know, a man for my daughter. So, and now she's 21 and...
Ripe old age of 21.
Living in Canada. And she comes home one night and her dad sort of calls her in to the living room and sort of explains what he's done. And he lays, you know, these ads, the letters before her. And he kind of explains that, you know, he got like 200 letters and he sort of narrowed he narrowed it down to like five guys. So and now she must choose. She must pick one or two to meet when she goes back to Taiwan.
And did he actually vet them, or judging solely by the letters?
Probably the letters, the pictures, that kind of stuff.
Okay, but so, like no background checks or anything to...
Maybe not like that, yeah.
Okay, wow. Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. So my friend, the heiress, it was one of those, like, you know, bad day, it's like that time of the month, and...
Hey.
And she just sort of sees this as her dad saying to her, you know, you have no hope finding a guy on your own. You need me to find... I need to run an ad for you, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just... She just... It was the wrong thing at the wrong time. And she burst into tears. And she grabbed the ads, the letters, and she ran to her room, and she threw them in the garbage, and then she got into bed and cried herself to sleep. And like then about 1 a.m., she says, she woke up. And then she's like, Dad read through 200 letters and he picked five guys? Well, what kind of guys did Dad think is good for me? So she went back to the garbage can, grabbed the letters and sort of smoothed them out. And she's like, not bad, Dad. You know, he's cute. You know, he's a lawyer. This guy's in medical school. He's cute. You know? So she ended up kind of responding to a couple of the ads the next time she went back to Taiwan. Yeah. So, yeah, the parents will do those kind of things.
Yeah. Sure. Some parents.
Some parents, yeah.
We'll be right back.
this week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity of the week.
This is the most awesome ad I've ever read in my life.
This is one I hope you won't apply for. I'm not even going to give the contact information, but it is on the Work and Play site. Jennifer, you read it.
Okay.
It needs, because I think it was like a woman you have to contact.
Okay. We are looking for young, 20s, cheerful, smile
exclamation
teachers.
Mark.
Yes, exclamation. Who fit our image of native English speakers / Americans. By law, you must be a college graduate. Average weight or thin people are preferred. Also, please, no Australians, New Zealanders, Irish, etc.
This is where I got to put in my editorial comments.
Okay.
All right. So, then the next sentence it says, Brits may be considered under special circumstances. So,
being the founders of the language and all.
Yeah, yeah. And first, the thing of no Irish, which is like, no Irish or dogs, you know, that kind of thing. But then you got the et cetera. Okay, so what is the et cetera? Do they mean no South Africans? Are they the et cetera? Because...
Well, Filipinos, Indians.
Well, if you're talking about the, you know, the English-speaking nations who can get the E2 visas...
Yeah.
There are not many countries left, right, other than...
Zimbabwe.
South Africa, which is the only other nation where you can get the E2 visa. So, but then they're using Britain. So do they mean... just people from England, or do they mean Britain?
The UK?
Which is Welsh, Scottish, and Northern Ireland. But then they say no Irish. So no Irish, but are then Northern Irelanders who have a British passport, are they okay? So it's, you know, racists are one thing, but then racists who... can't get anything straight.
Yeah. Actually, this very weekend, I have seen three women that I hope apply because they're young, in their 20s,
all right,
and thin, and all three of them had 4 to 6 arm tattoos.
Ooh, okay.
Which, when I saw them, I saw them all at different times, and every time I saw them, I was like, wow, I bet their school was surprised. Because, you know, you send in the face picture, you know. And I hope those women apply and get these jobs.
Right, and then show
just
their
my
tats.
Little wish. Yeah,
their jailhouse tats.
Yeah,
my boyfriend, the biker, made these for me.
Yeah, they were all like very large and colorful too. There were no like tiny little smiley faces or anything. They were all like full bicep coverage, and one of them had forearm tattoos. You know, like really, like heavy metal chick tattoos.
But the ad, that's not even the half of the ad. It goes on.
Oh, sorry.
So Brits may be considered under special circumstances. Now the part in the brackets is classic. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Of course. Let me repeat. Of course, no non-native English speakers or ethnic minorities.
Yeah. I.e. Chinese people, black people.
Yeah, not non-whitey.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, of course not.
But here comes their inclusiveness.
Korean citizens or Kyopos with native-like English skills may be hired temporarily, and college degree is not required of them. Well, because they won't have an E2 visa.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, they're only being hired temporarily until a sufficiently young and thin whitey can be hired to replace them.
Now, despite the blaring honesty of this ad...
I do have to congratulate them. At least they're not like, you know, anybody apply and then like rifling through and only contacting the ones that fit their very narrow definition.
But there should have been like then another bracket that sort of says, of course, if you're Korean, you will be paid half the wage and treated like crap.
Yeah. You know, so you'll like, be expected to sit there for, you know, 12 hours a day that are not teaching hours and therefore unpaid. Yeah. Oh, and I like the little informational quote at the end. Can I read that one too?
Yeah, go ahead.
English teachers in Korea occasionally...
Oh, wait. But the beautiful thing here is what they're actually quoting a warning supplied by an Australian website about people who are thinking about teaching.
Yes. English teachers in Korea occasionally have contract disputes with their employers. Yeah, that's very rare and occasional. What, like 95% of people?
Yeah.
In the Korean context, a contract is simply a rough working agreement subject to change depending on the circumstances. And I will insert the school's circumstances, not yours.
Yeah.
Most Koreans do not view deviations from a contract as a breach of contract, and few Koreans would consider taking an employer to court over a contract dispute.
End
and I would
quote.
Also like to add that Koreans can quit their job and go work somewhere else without being booted out of the country.
Yeah.
You know, if they think they're being treated that heinously. And Koreans, on the whole, tend to bend over and take it a lot more than foreigners do.
But then the last sentence is where they turn the you know, the sow's ear into a purse.
Yeah. We don't think you'll take us to court either.
It's kind of... It's,
we don't think so.
It's jaw-dropping in that
yeah.
there's just this flat-out warning. And the U.S. Embassy has a similar warning,
yeah.
similarly worded warning.
They used to put out a whole book called Don't Go to Korea.
Yeah. And so they literally take that warning and then use it in their ad to sort of say...
We're not that bad.
This is the contract, really. You know it, so we know it, and
yeah.
deal with it.
Well, I have had a school tell me, not actually the school I was working for, but like at the
right.
headquarters branch,
all right.
Point out that the schools consider the contract just to be a document to satisfy immigration.
Yeah.
They do not actually consider that to be in any way related to your working relationship.
Yeah.
And that's why they get by with, you know, the director having no idea what the contract says, you know, because they just downloaded it off the internet or something. You
yes.
know, that's their excuse. They don't really consider it to be your working agreement.
Yeah.
So, you know, FYI.
But, I don't know, is this ad just awful or do you have to commend the people for just being... completely honest?
On the one hand, I would like to commend them for their honesty. If they are looking for such an incredibly narrow range of teachers, then, yeah, just go ahead and put it out there and don't waste
right.
people's time.
Right, yes.
You know, like, I appreciate it when they put in there that you will have shared housing
right.
or that you're going to work, like, 87 splits in your day, you know, 1 hour on, 1 hour off
right.
or, you know, a 15-hour day or whatever. Any sort of information like that, just
okay.
put it out there and save the job seekers time.
All right.
On the other hand, the fact that they think it's okay to be so completely racist and prejudicial in their hiring practices
yeah.
is a little bit scary. And again, I think that's also good to know, because even if you do fit in, you know, if you are in your 20s and cheerful and thin and American, maybe you don't want to work for a company that's all they think it makes a good teacher.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Forewarned is forearmed.
Right.
Yeah, but Rosa had a situation when she came here. She is actually a certified teacher.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she would have schools flat out tell her that they were full up on Korean Americans.
Right, that's the quota.
Yeah.
Well, even the heiress, you know, she in Taiwan. You know, when she sort of graduated, she went to Taiwan and she tried to get some jobs teaching English. Same thing, you know.
Yes.
Just they're like, we don't want to hire our fellow Taiwanese to teach
okay.
English. But she's kind of like, but I'm a native speaker, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I can speak Chinese. And they're like, no. So what she actually kind of did was she just called, when she was in Taiwan, she just sort of called some schools and sort of called them up and said, this is my qualifications, will you hire me? Not telling them she's Chinese. And then they're like, sounds good, come on by. And so then she shows up. And they're like, and she's like, but on the phone you told me I was qualified. On the phone you said you'd give me a job, I just had to show up. Okay. So she kind of shamed him in that
yeah.
way, but yeah. Oh, well, a question, Rush. We got an email from a listener, and American, want to know about taxes, and I know as an American you don't have to pay taxes unless you earn over, was it 72,000?
It's been raised just like 80,000 now.
Okay.
Not that it really matters if you're not going to make anything close to 70,000
yeah.
in a year.
Yeah,
but
there's no danger there.
Either way.
Yeah, and if you're making it under the table, you're not going to tell anybody anyways.
Yeah.
So, but do you still have to file a return every year?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't, but...
Oh, you don't? Okay. All right. But
when I go back, I'm going to have to file, like, all the back returns.
Okay. So, but ideally, you still have to the IRS. You still have to fill out a return saying, I'm in Korea.
Yeah. This is what I earned.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, it's very simple.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because in Canada, you don't have to file. You only have to file if you owe taxes.
Ah. Yeah. See, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah. If there's a refund coming, then they're more than happy not to hear from you.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. But you, for the most part, the government knows how much you've earned. You know, they've got the slips. W-2, you call them?
Yeah.
Yeah, Canada's T-4. So, you know, they know your interest income. They know your employment income.
The only thing they don't know are your deductions. So if you're, you know, childless and landless, then you really don't have too many deductions to worry about. So.
You can't declare that, a lot of that stuff up front. Like,
right. When you fill out the W-2.
So the government has an excellent idea of what you owe in the first place, you know. So, yeah, the only really thing is just self-employment income or, you know, I don't know. So, yeah. So at least Canada at least takes that sort of saner approach that you don't got to file if you don't owe. So. Right. That's our show. You know, the job. The no Irish job.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me. Guy I met here in Seoul. I won't call him a friend because I only had coffee with him once. Really cool guy. Canadian. And, it was like last year, one of the little monthly free magazines about Korea, English, there was a classified ad like for a group about some sort of friendship group.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you remember that? And sort of like, you know, people from all over the world get together and friendship and talk. And then the last line is, absolutely no Canadians. and it actually got made Jay Leno. Like, Jay Leno read it. And so the guy who wrote that ad, I had coffee with him a few weeks back. I should probably get him on this show. But he's a Canadian guy. But that's kind of a Canadian sense of humor, you know, like, because we know we're not well liked here by mostly Americans and British and stuff like that. So, yeah. But no Canadians.
No Canadians.
Anyway, so what's up, Côté Seoul?
Again, I have forgotten the date. It is the third Saturday of the month. We'll have our meeting at 3:00. Sungmyung University. This month's an ideas exchange, so just bring one of your classroom ideas, and it's usually pretty informative. A good time had by all for the idea exchanges.
All right.
And as usual, Carl's favorite, free snacks.
The free snacks, good. All right. And I noticed on the teacher message board here, you're hiring a webmaster, or you're trying to get somebody to do webmaster.
For Côté Seoul,
yeah.
As far as I know, they have one, but he's new, so maybe he was the new one.
Right, or he didn't work out. That's always a possibility. God.
Well, no, they're building a huge new system.
Oh, yeah?
So you can do everything online. Like, you can change all of your information and join and whatever.
Okay.
So it's maybe too big of an undertaking for one person.
I put up a couple of new things on YouTube.
Excellent.
Yeah. One is, a long time ago I put up how to open samgak kimbap.
Yeah.
And now I have how to open sausage. You know, that was our snack of the week while. Yeah. So, actually I got a couple of my students to open them. And
a little trick to it.
Yeah, one girl couldn't get it open at all. And then I'm like, oh Jesus, I should be videotaping this. And so I grabbed another one and I'm like, okay. The one who got the first one open. And I'm like, okay, you open this one. I'm just going to videotape. And then she's like, no. But I'm like, that's okay. I'll just get your hands. Don't worry. So, yeah. And even she had a little bit of a problem getting it open. But she got it open.
Because it's a weird, like, lengthwise string.
Yeah.
It's not a wraparound, like a gum or something.
Yeah. And maybe the video's not 100% clear. But, yeah, the little red cord. I think you got to get it, yank the cord out from the middle. Pull it out, and then you can kind of peel the two plastic halves.
Yeah.
That's I think the key. Yeah. But So I got that up there. And then, have you seen those? You have to have seen those. Like, there's a pig and a tomato, and then you throw it on a flat surface, and then it sort of spreads out,
yes.
and then sort of goes back into the tomato and pig shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I bought a couple.
Okay.
And, well, my one friend, she's got a three-year-old nephew, and then the woman who does the voiceover podcast. Oh.
How's he doing?
Oh, it's his birthday today.
How is it?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Jaehoon.
Happy birthday.
Jaehoon.
Oh, Jaehoon.
Yeah, Jaehoon. Yeah. So he's boy's 5 Korean. Yeah. And 4, I think, Western age. Yeah. So so I bought 2, but he was in the hospital when I got the thing. And you know, I'm now very gun shy about the things I buy him. I got to look at them twice and go, toxic, or are they, will they, how will this kill a child? And I'm ashamed to admit it, but you know, along the lines of, you know, Carl's ghastly medical experiments I like to perform on the children of Korea, I gave one to my friend's 3-year-old nephew. But we are going to spend the day with him, you know, so I can monitor him with the thing. And
to make sure it's safe for the other child?
Yeah. And
Carl Mengele, was it?
Yes. And he broke it in about 20 minutes. And it's full of a liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it did get on some exposed skin. But nothing seems to have...
Yeah, but something that breaks that quickly probably should not be in the hands of a small child.
Exactly.
Because it could be easily consumed.
Yeah, it does look kind of dangerous. So yeah. I have determined it's... Probably don't want to buy it for young children.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even if they don't break it, they just might pierce it
yeah.
and then, like, try to drink it. And
yeah.
God knows what's in there. Toxic waste, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, where'd that toxic waste problem go?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. We solved it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? Here's some toys for your kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the latest thing from China. All the toys that have been recalled because they're decorated with lead-based paint. Why not? Kids just suck on them.
Yeah, sure. All right. So we'll probably have a podcast next week. And Tuesday. Tuesday's a holiday.
Is it?
Oh, no. Well, not... Sorry. Okay, not to get you excited. Sorry, Jennifer. All right. Not this Tuesday, but...
Oh, come on, Carl.
The next Tuesday is a holiday. So, yeah, I don't know, maybe if the weather's really nice, you know, maybe no podcast, and because we got the holiday Tuesday, so that'll be kind of just a real nice, chilling kind of weekend, work Monday, Tuesday off kind of thing.
So kind of a pseudo 4-day weekend?
It's a pseudo 4-day weekend.
Where you, like, have lots of activities for the kids to do on Monday?
Yeah. But if the weather's crap, then I'll come to Bundang.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so I don't know, stay tuned.
Not that I'm advocating giving your kids a bunch of activities so you don't have to deal with them, because I would never do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, my my little stressful, you know, where they're actually making me work this semester.
What, 20 hours a week now?
6 40-minute classes per day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How are you making it through?
I know. But I'm actually
is that consecutive? You don't even get, like, you know, an hour off in the middle?
5-minute breaks between classes. Yeah. But some of the classes I've kind of have structured, so they've got a lot more head down work.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are, like, that's the one I've been complaining about, where they got to bring in a dictionary.
Yeah.
And that's just beyond some of them.
Yeah. I don't get why. This is one of my big pet peeves. Our parents will spend so much money on tuition.
Yeah.
Our textbooks are like 100,000 won because they're American, you know, hardback textbooks.
Yeah.
They will not buy their kids a dictionary of any kind. Because
yeah.
I'll be like, but you can use like a Korean English dictionary. That's okay. And they're like, I don't have one. What? Why do you even call yourself a language student? You know, because that's like ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, you know. Financial Times, Friday's Financial Times, had a sort of a full-page article about, you know, what city is kind of be the financial center of Asia.
this is going to be Seoul.
Yeah.
Financial hub.
And so they had like it was Tokyo, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Seoul, Singapore. And they're sort of analyzing. And Seoul was just like, they just, God, did they just ever dump on it. It was like, well, poor English, just insane government regulation and anti-foreigner mentality.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, 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 you know.
Well, yeah, I think now foreigners can own businesses here, but that's really new.
I know.
You know, before it was only like if you had a Korean partner.
Yeah.
That was the actual like legal owner.
But I think what they kind of meant by the anti-foreigner wasn't so much like, you know, Yankee go home on the street, but more like what's like the Korean Auto Manufacturers Association. You know, which GM Daewoo is a member of, but the president of GM Daewoo is American, and he was not allowed to take the helm of the Korean automobile. You know, like I guess it's kind of a rotating, but because he's not Korean,
yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff. Like a lot of businesses, only so many foreigners can be part of the board. That you know, so many have to be, you know, Korean. And the really big one was the KTNG, Korea Tobacco and Ginseng. It's just a bizarre.
Yeah.
And so.
Well-being tobacco.
Yeah. One of the there's a American guy. God, what was his name? I think he was also maybe not Kirk Kerkorian. Might be the guy who also owns a lot of Chrysler shares, but he bought like a. They bought like a big stake in KT&G, like 20%, and their big thing was to, they wanted KT&G to sell the ginseng division to kind of, and quote, enhance shareholder value.
Okay.
It might have been so much crap, you know, just sort of like, it's just now KT, which would be bad because now it's Korea Telecom, you know,
yeah.
And that would confuse people like, you know, like the Dickens. But, you know, now they have one really great bottom line year. Oh my God, you know, we're in the black by $20 billion.
Yeah.
Share
amazing.
Goes up, you know, and then I think the other guy was Liechtenstein, Roy Liechtenstein or Ray Liechtenstein. These guys, you know, then dumped their shares. But I can see a little bit of resistance to that idea. But it kind of came out as kind of a lot more anti-foreigner sentiments, like,
yeah.
How dare they? But it's a bit like in Canada, as if like Hudson's Bay Company, you know, like 200-year-old Canadian corporation, you know, being bought by Americans.
Yeah.
You know, there would be a lot of Canadians who would just be like, horrified by the very idea.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to start selling handguns in the toy department and things, just stuff like that. That's
yeah.
What Hollywood think kind of thing. So, I don't know. There's anti-foreigner investment sentiments. When you're trying to take over a company, something that really exemplifies the nation, there's going to be some of that.
But, yeah. It's hard to see how, in terms of being a financial hub, how Seoul could ever compete with Singapore. I mean, I won't even get into, you know, even consider any of the other cities, but Singapore seems like they've just got the whole market locked.
Yeah.
You know, they've so many languages spoken there.
Multicultural.
It's, clean and modern and very orderly and organized.
Yeah.
And they've already got that financial sort of thing down. No guesswork.
Oh, you know, one of my YouTube videos, the one about defensive walking, it actually answered a question I've wondered about. Someone was commenting on it, and the video kind of answered the same question we both have had, is, when you're waiting for a light, you don't stand right next to the road, or even in
the
road.
Line.
Yeah. You stand back from the road.
Imaginary yellow subway line.
Yeah, you want to give yourself some
crazy driver room.
Exactly. But then you notice, like, you'll be standing there giving yourself the room, and then more often than not, Korean comes, stands right in front of you.
Directly in front of you.
Yeah.
There's then, 27 feet of empty space and in front of you.
Yeah. But then naturally when the light turns green, you know, they don't move.
Yeah, I haven't noticed yet.
Or they're not moving very fast, and so you have to now walk around them.
Yeah.
An idea, again, similar to like Canada when you're driving on the highway.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're in the right lane, and then people will like pass you in the left lane, and then pull in front of you, and then slow down.
Yeah.
Oh, that infuriates me like bejesus. But, yeah. So, a complete mystery to me, but I guess my video solved it for the guy who then solved it for me. So it's much less dangerous to stand in the street than to stand where the motorcycles will be driving, right? Because if you're standing in the street, at least you can see the cars. But if you're sort of standing back of the road, you don't see what's coming up behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence my video, the point is to try to like use a barrier to sort of keep yourself from being blindsided. But I'm like, that completely explains it.
I got rammed by a stroller on my way over here.
Oh.
Speaking of defensive walking.
Yeah.
I sort of pretend I'm an Italian driving when I'm walking through Myeongdong. You know, that sort of zipping around through all the slow people.
Right.
You know, if you've never been to Italy, that's how they drive. And this woman totally like clipped the whole back of my foot with her stroller.
Oh yeah.
So I was not walking defensively enough.
All right. Okay. So that's our show. And again, happy birthday to Jaylen.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah. All right then. And bye bye. Maybe see you next week.
Yeah.
Maybe see you in a couple weeks.
All right. See ya.
It's email.
Yeah.
GoKorea@gmail.com. www.gokorea.info. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.